Hello, everybody. Before we dive into the intro story, I made it to episode 50. Holy cow. There were definitely a lot of days where I wasn't sure if I was going to ship, but we are here now, and after a lot of deliberation, this will mark the end to season one of the Inner Monster podcast. A weekly show, to be honest, has been a bit too much for me to maintain, so I'll not only be taking a break for the next few weeks, but when the Inner Monster podcast returns, it will probably move to a bi-weekly show or in a short sprint of episodes over a few months as a season. As always, thank you so much for listening, and make sure you sign up for new notifications so you don't miss the triumphant return. Now, on to this week's episode. It should have been an awesome day in paradise. The sky was clear, the temperature just right, and the abundance of the fruit trees we were constantly passing kept our stomachs full and our fingers sticky. The hike had been exhausting but rewarding, as I had gotten to spend time with my son for the first time in a few years. And as we neared the peak of the short range we were traversing, I was glad everything was going so well. And it's so fascinating how one misstep could change everything. The gravel was slippery and I wasn't paying attention to the sharp incline when I found myself sliding towards the edge of a cliff. The loose rock slid under my back like marbles tripping up a cartoon character, and as I could feel my leg shooting out into the open nothingness, I felt a hand grab mine. I looked up to see my son on his stomach, his face contorted as he struggled to keep me from going over the edge. I kicked around, flipping over, trying to find purchase with my feet, but whether the angle was too steep or the rock worn smooth, there was nothing, and as my stomach slid over the edge, I used my free hand to pull at grass, weeds, dirt, anything to try and stop my descent. And at that moment, I noticed a small reptile with burning red eyes and a flickering tongue appear on my son's shoulder. It moved with a fluidity not of this earth, and I screamed at my son about the reptile, but he seemed completely oblivious to the thing that was perched on his shoulder. I saw the creature get close to my son's ear, and it seemed to be whispering something. And my son's eyes took a glossy look, and then he let go. Time slowed as I slid backwards and I watched as the reptilian creature transformed into something red and monstrous, yet vaguely humanoid. And the last thing I saw before I fell into the chasm was its lips mouthing the words, "My name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast." We are officially at episode 50, my friends, and for this momentous occasion today, I wanted to introduce one of the most well-known monsters of our time, the OG serpent himself, Satan, the Prince of Darkness. Hailing from the holy books of Abrahamic religions, including Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, Satan, or the devil, as per the most common English translation of his name, is the malevolent opposing force to God. The interesting thing I learned while researching this is that in Hebrew, Satan is actually a generic term that translates to the adversary, or the accuser. And it's not until what is known as the Second Temple period, which is from 516 BCE to 70 Common Era, where Judaism was heavily influenced by Zoroastrianism, where Satan, in a bunch of texts that have either been intentionally misattributed or attributed to a figure in the past, becomes the malevolent figure that is shown in popular culture today. And it's actually not until 95 Common Era in the Book of Revelations when Satan really becomes the supernatural villain to Christianity, tempting Jesus and humans and basically being a big jerk. Satan's history is really rich, and I had no idea how nuanced and interesting it was, but I was most interested in the story of Adam and Eve when Adam, the first man, is chilling with Eve, the first woman, in the Garden of Eden. And God tells them that they can eat anything they want except for fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where the forbidden fruit would grant them knowledge. Interestingly enough, I know modern pop culture would have you believe that it was an apple as the forbidden fruit, but there are fair arguments to be made that the fruit could actually have been grapes, a fig, or a pomegranate. All great fruit alternatives, in my opinion. whatever the exact fruit was, Eve and Adam share a bite when they get tempted by a serpent, which probably was more of a dragon serpent rather than a little cute green snake type serpent. It's argued that the serpent was actually Satan in disguise and thus got everyone kicked out of paradise forever. And so because of this, Satan sort of gets associated with the idea of forbidden knowledge, and it's this thing around knowledge that I want to dig into today, which I will call the idea of education versus learning. So we should probably start by getting clear about what the difference is between the two. Education is the idea of being taught something, usually in a school or university, or it's the knowledge that you gain through such a process. Learning, on the other hand, is gaining knowledge or a skill by practicing, studying, being taught, or experiencing something. And to clear up things regarding my own background around this, I was your typical overachiever in school. I was a valedictorian in high school, I have 2 bachelor degrees, and I ended up teaching at one of the largest art universities in the world. And so even with the fact that my brain is wired so that it performs well in an educational setting, I really think we need to reevaluate the education system and focus on learning over education. And I'm sure it's no surprise to anyone listening that schools are about formalized learning, usually created with a one-size-fits-all mentality in order to maximize the amount of students who get served per instructor. Unfortunately, it's like with underwear, one-size-fits-all education might sort of fit for most people, but it ends up not fitting great for a vast majority of people. Really, the school format is to maximize profits and prestige, especially in the private and university level, while limiting the amount of emotional labor instructors need to put into teaching. It's about creating quantifiable outcomes, thus the big focus on standardized tests and constraints around curricula. And don't get me wrong, there are freaking amazing educators out there at all levels, from kindergarten to middle school, high school, university professors, but there are more, I would argue, under-resourced but well-meaning educators who don't have the capacity to teach at their best because of the system. And I also understand the need for some sort of accountability with instructors and curriculum, so you can know that you're learning the same general stuff as the person in the class before you, or that your child is being taught actual science as opposed to magic or something else made up. But my issue with the current education system is that we're already seeing standards shift based on cultural norms. Here in the US, there's people trying to ban the teaching of the understanding of how race relations in the US history has played out, or they're trying to teach faith-based alternatives to the Big Bang and the theory of evolution. There's also teachers who don't believe that COVID-19 is a real thing, so I get it that accreditation, standardization can give us a baseline trust in our school systems, but people are already kind of hacking those and bending these things to their own beliefs anyway through politics. So perhaps society needs to start moving away from valuing specific education and focusing more on learning and skill acquisition. After all, our society is increasingly shifting in terms of the value that we're looking for from workers. We don't really have many courses on things like being a pro video game player, or a Twitch streamer, or an NFT creator, or a TikTok influencer. And to be fair, most institutions don't even offer meaningful courses on what it takes to succeed in the job market, or how to successfully apply to jobs, or to network, or basic financial literacy. Believe me, I am super, super grateful for being forced to explore random different subjects that I wasn't at the time interested in. You know, chemistry helps me understand what's in my food and medicine. Physics helps me understand how to build things. And old literature actually helps me when I build fictional worlds of my own or do research for this podcast. Even taking Spanish was helpful, pero mi español es muy malo y no practico basically ever. It still taught me empathy for people who immigrate to countries where they don't speak the language. Also, I appreciate math for a variety of reasons, whether it's around my finances or using trigonometry to help me build cardboard props. It's pretty helpful to understand how math works. So I'm not saying that we need to get rid of these things, but we might want to consider how we can make these things more practical and project-based to show that they're relevant in life. Because let's get honest, even though I was pretty good at it, I had no idea at the time of how most of high school would actually prepare me for the world besides providing me with the fundamentals needed to move on to college-level courses to get a degree which I thought would get me a job. Like, I didn't understand how my psychology course would do anything besides help me understand psychology courses in college, which is a total shame, as if I had that knowledge of how important psychology is to a society as a whole, that's probably what I would have majored in. At the very least, if this podcast doesn't lead to sweeping reforms of the education system, I'd encourage everyone to consider how we can make the information that we teach actually meaningful to students. Because it's part of the curriculum is as terrible of a justification as a boss saying, "Because I said so." So we need to make sure as educators we're letting people know how this impacts their lives, which requires the emotional labor to get to know all of your students and figure out exactly what they're passionate about. And okay, I also think that we need rigorous standardized tests and curricula for professions where people's lives are going to be on the line. Doctors, engineers, architects, lawyers, these professions have a high risk of failure, i.e. massive loss of life in most cases, so it makes sense that certifications and accreditations are meaningful here. But I also don't think it makes sense always that soldiers and law enforcement officers don't go through the years of grad school that a lawyer or a doctor has to go through. You can make it through the police academy in about 6 months. And both jobs require you to know the law and can have drastic consequences for people they interact with, but it seems like the requirements are much different. Regardless, I think that our education system needs to move away from knowledge acquisition to a focus on practical learning and also learning in of itself. After all, I ended up rewriting my entire course curriculum that I was teaching because the way it was had me basically reading out of a reader. Especially in this day and age, why pay so much for a class when you could literally just read the book instead or find the information you need with a Google search? And so I flipped it around to make the course focused on practical applications of the material rather than just rehashing things that anyone could look up on the internet. Because let's get real, you're not going to out-knowledge Wikipedia or the internet at large. So why do we keep trying to get people to focus on the knowledge? And I get it that there's a baseline of knowledge that people need to know so that you can more accurately understand how to research the topic or understand what's correct information. But the reality is searching for, quote, "My avocado tree has weird white crust on it," end quote, pretty much is all you need these days, as opposed to an understanding of plant biology. So instead, what if we focused on building skills about researching and parsing the literal fictional stuff that people try and pass off as actual news with actual news? What if we focused on social skills, empathy, leadership, how to build trust with people you just met? What if we taught people about value, how to select healthcare, how to negotiate salary, or the psychology around money? I think refocusing what we teach people in mandatory education systems is a great place to start, but really we should be questioning the very structures themselves, all the way from how we hire to what we incentivize through our capitalistic system, as that, at the end of the day, really determines what and how we should be teaching people. I'm proud that there are a lot of organizations, some of which I'm actually involved with, already seeking to move the needle away from education towards learning, and really a focus on project-based teaching, as well as cohort-based courses that are not teacher-centric and more focused on learning from your peers. From the Alt-MBA and Akimbo workshops to Maven, to Lectureless, to Disco, to the DMBA, there are tons of options for adults to reimagine what it means to learn along with other people. but if we're going to force kids into education systems, I'd love to rethink what can be done there. Educational systems can be great at helping you find the others and providing the incentive to do the work. And I'll be honest, that they are incredibly helpful for me personally to get work done and transform how I think about things. I mean, there's a reason I went to college twice. But at the end of the day, how necessary is the motivation, structure, and network from these systems? And how necessary is the information or skills themselves? There's not a wrong answer, but you always want to be clear about why you're pursuing education on top of learning. So if there's a goal you're working towards, do you need school? Or do you just need to figure out how to learn something new? And if it's the latter, how might you do so in a way that you can articulate that new skill or knowledge to the people who are going to care? That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a monstrous day.